Welcome to Karen Orr's official podcast. We're a Messianic synagogue in Savannah, Georgia. You can find us on the web at www.shalomsavannah.com. Joseph is an interesting character in the Bible because he went through a whole lot. He went through a lot of ups. He went through a lot of downs. We talked about that last week. And this week we're going to talk about kind of the culmination of Joseph's life. We see him. We begin to see him as a young boy in Israel with his brothers, all of his older brothers, and his one younger brother, Benjamin, and his father, Jacob. And then we see him getting sold into slavery by his brothers, going to Egypt, going to a foreign land, and how he went through all the trials that he went through. He went to Potiphar. He was sold into Potiphar's house, and then some things happened there, we know, and then he got thrown into prison for many, many years. And, you know, we don't realize it, but Joseph was in prison for 13 years. That's a long time to be in that valley. We talked about valleys last week. But then Joseph, through God's intervention, through a series of events, makes his way back up out of prison. And now he is second in command to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is like top dog of Egypt. You can't get any higher than Pharaoh. He is basically the president, the prime minister, and the almighty sultan, or whatever you want to call it. He's the czar. And the only one that was more powerful than Joseph was the Pharaoh. So can you imagine going from prison, going from being sold into slavery, to being the second in command of the most powerful nation in the world at the time? It's truly amazing. So we profile Joseph's life. And this week, I want to pick it up and I want to look at where we are now and the relationship with Joseph and his brothers and how it gets reconciled. And I really want to talk about, what I want to talk about today is forgiveness. And there's a lot of aspects of forgiveness. It's not an easy thing to do, to forgive people. I'm sure you've all heard talks on forgiveness and had people tell you, oh, you just need to forgive that person. But every single person, no matter who you are, has had hurts in their lives. No matter what, someone has hurt you, even if you're young. This is really bad. I have like ADD a little bit. And it's really bad to have an iPad up here because every time I'm reading, I get like a notice. Somebody just did something on the Karen Orr page. And it's like, it's driving me crazy. It wasn't somebody here. But I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe I need to turn this off because my ADD mind then goes there. I see squirrel and I go right there. So I'm going to refocus. Let's all refocus. Forgiveness. Joseph. All right. So what was going on in Israel and Egypt? What was going on in the world was a severe famine. Okay? Severe famine. And there was no food. Remember, there was 7 years of plenty. Joseph had interpreted correctly Pharaoh's dream. 7 years of plenty. Building up the storehouse. Everything's going great. Hey, we're doing awesome. Joseph, you're the man. And then 7 years of famine. And the famine is felt throughout the known world. To the point where the famine reaches Jacob's family in Israel, touches their family too. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through this awesome story because I want to get to the end. So here's like the Reader's Digest 10-second version, right? Famine in the land. The brothers come back. They meet Joseph. Joseph does not reveal himself to them. Through another series of events, it turns out they're in the same room and Joseph finally reveals. He pulls off his mask, so to speak. He pulls off his little headgear, the Egyptian headgear, and says, I'm Joseph, your brother. And it's an amazing, awesome event right there when there's a reconciliation. And Joseph forgives his brothers. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's start out with Genesis 45, 4. We're going to have all the scriptures on the screens, but if you have your Bible, your iPad, your whoosie-whatsie, Galaxy tablet, whatever you got, turn with me to Genesis 45, 4. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. Can you imagine somebody, you know, I know that sometimes when we have siblings or people that upset us or annoy us or do bad things to us, it's like, that's pretty bad. But, you know, when your brother sells you into slavery, that's really bad. It's hard to forgive somebody for that. But Joseph was able to forgive his brothers. So that's a great story. But like anything, how are we going to apply that to our lives? Joseph was able to forgive. That's great. We can read about it. We can talk about it. But we got to go a little deeper because we got to apply it to our lives. Most people, when they read the scriptures, they just read it. And I'm talking about most believers too, right? You just read the scriptures. You may know the scriptures backwards and forwards. I've heard people say to me, I've been a believer for 40-something years. I'm like, that's great. But I don't see the fruit. You know, I don't see the growth and the maturity in your life. You could be a believer for 1 year and have more spiritual maturity than somebody that's been a believer for 40 years and has stalled out right there after you accepted the Lord. So it really is amazing. Don't go by, I've been a believer for 20-something years. Go by, what has God been working in my life? How have I grown? How have I developed? How have I matured and grown closer to God? Joseph did that throughout his life. He had, like we said last week, he had a series of events where he was in valleys and he was up on mountaintops, and he used those experiences to not push himself away from God, but to grow closer to God. And when you have those examples and things in your life that are going on, you should use it as an opportunity to grow closer to God. So when we read about Joseph's life, let's just not read about it and then close the Bible and go home and do our thing, but let's apply it to our life. The biggest key of really having a synagogue besides the fellowship and, hey, we're all happy, let's get all to get together, is, are you really applying God's word to your life? Are we as a community applying God's words to our lives and becoming better people for it in the Lord? That's what God wants. Let's look at a scripture, one of my favorite scriptures here, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. This is a powerful scripture here. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we can't say to ourselves, I read the Bible, but it doesn't really apply to my life in this situation. I've got something that I just don't know how to handle it. The Bible doesn't really talk about it. Well, that's not really true, because all scripture is profitable for us to learn from and to apply to our lives, so we may be complete, equipped for every good work. Not just 90% of the good works, and that 10% that I'm going through, God doesn't understand what I'm going through. The Bible doesn't speak of it. No, sometimes you have to dig, but we're going to be equipped for every good work. And I take so much comfort in that as a believer, to know that everything I'm going to go through ever in my life is basically contained in the scriptures that I can pull out, that I can apply to my life, and that I can grow from. Thank God for that. Romans 2:13. This is an equally powerful scripture. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but doers of the law who will be justified. Now listen, when it talks about the law, it's really the Torah. The Torah can mean several things in Judaism. Okay, I'm not going to do a whole diatribe on what the Torah means, but basically here's the deal. In Judaism, the Torah can refer to, number one, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, as they say. That's the traditional historical terminology when you say the Torah. The Torah can also mean, in a broader sense, the entire of the Hebrew scriptures, or the Tanakh, the Old Testament. The Torah can even mean, if you stretch it a little bit, all of scripture. So basically what he's saying here is, it's not the hearers of the Bible, of the scripture, which is profitable for teaching, for every good work, by the way. It's not just the hearers of the word who are righteous before God, but who? The doers. So don't just hear the word today. Don't just hear the great stories about Joseph. Don't just hear the things that we're about to talk about, but be a doer of it, meaning apply it to your life. Let it sink in. Let it soak in. Let God use this today to grow you in the Lord. So that's my challenge today. Let's just not stop and talk, oh, that's a wonderful story about Joseph. You know, I'm going to go on with my soapboxes for a second. I get so irritated sometimes, and I think some of you do as well. But, you know, more and more in this world, we've got a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of believers that are kind of products of these last couple of generations. And they're like, well, I believe in, you know, the Lord, I believe in Jesus and all that, but that flood really didn't happen. I know I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but it's really on my mind. The flood didn't happen. Abraham wasn't a real character. Those are just nice stories. Listen, the Bible is the Bible, and when we take scripture, any scripture, and then just reduce it to that's a nice story, we dilute the true meaning of scripture, we dilute the power of scripture, and we basically tell God, we don't believe you. You said that, but we're going to allegorize it. And that gets really, really into a bad, you really go down a bad path. So remember, the scripture is there for us, every word of it, for good works. And those things are there for a reason. And those stories really did happen. And we can really apply them to our lives. And I take comfort in the fact that Joseph really did live, that Joseph really did go to prison for 13 years. Because that tells me when I'm in my own prison that it wasn't just a good story to make it, you know, God made it up to make me feel better. No, he went through it. So now I can feel comfort because I know I'm not alone. I know this guy went through it. I can get through it too. I see where God helped him. It can help me. And that's really, really important. And people don't realize that. Anyway, off the soapbox. So just had to get that out. So anyway, forgiveness. This is such a difficult subject because we think we forgive sometimes. Maybe we don't fully forgive. And you know, the real truth of the matter is we don't forgive people. Joseph didn't forgive his brothers just to forgive them. You know, it helps us when we forgive people too. Forgiving is really good for us, not just for the person that we forgive. We forgive to help others, absolutely. But forgiveness is really, and if you look at studies now, forgiveness is really tied. You know, a lot of times in scientists would always say, well, I can't prove this about forgiveness. I'm not going to do all these, you know, these kind of soft things here. I'm just going to prove what I can see, the tangible elements. But more and more, even unbelieving, ungodly scientists are doing these studies and PhDs are doing these studies about topics like forgiveness, topics like anger and how it affects you. And, you know, we know it's tied to physical, emotional, and spiritual issues when you don't forgive people. It's tied to stress, that's for sure. When you don't forgive people, you build up bitterness in your life. You build up pain. And when you don't let that stuff out, it can grow and it can manifest and fester in you and cause problems. So when you forgive somebody, you're doing it more, even more for yourself, or just as much, let's say, for yourself as for the person that you wronged. And this is really powerful. I was once at a conference, probably about 10 years ago, and there was a speaker there, and this guy is a real powerful speaker. Some of you may know him. His name is Ari Sokaram. So Ari Sokaram has a ministry in Israel, in Tel Aviv, and the ministry is called Ma'oz. And Ma'oz is a wonderful ministry. They've been there for years, he and his wife, Ari and his wife, Shira, and they have just been on the front lines. They're one of the people on the front lines in Israel, just proclaiming Yeshua to the Israelis. And so Ari Sokaram was the guest speaker at this conference. And what he talked about was really powerful. It was about forgiveness. And it was very close to home for Ari because it was about his son. So his son at the time was probably about 20 years old or late teens, early 20s. And he talked. And I was kind of shocked because Ari Sokaram, he's been a believer for like years. And his son was not following the Lord. His son was straying from the Lord. And what had happened was his son had cancer. His son had gotten cancer at a young age. He had a terrible, terrible illness, very terminal cancer, from what I remember. And what happened was he tells the story of his son was really, I mean, there was really no way out of this illness. It was terrible. But what they did was, and this is really cool, what he did was Ari sat down with his son and over a process of time, over a period of time, they went through the son's life. They went through every person the son had wronged or been terrible to, because this guy did a lot of bad things throughout his life. I mean, he went back far and said, I wronged this person in the fifth grade or whatever it was. I did this terrible thing. And they went through one by one and they got it out. It had been sitting there, it had been festering, it had been building in his son for years. And what they found out was they went through and when he went to the people and he asked for forgiveness. He said, I'm sorry, it was a terrible place in my life. And he went through, and when he couldn't find people, he would just give it to God and say, God, I can't find this person. I tried, but I just lift it up to you, and I just want you to forgive me for this, and I forgive them, and this and that. And people who had wronged him, and people he had wronged, all throughout his life. And the way Ari attributed this is basically they went through this process, and in the end of the process, his son was healed of cancer. I mean, it's an amazing story, and it's a true story. So the point is, there's a lot of stuff we hold in. There's a lot of things that we have baggage inside of us, and there's a lot of physical problems that can happen, as well as emotional, psychological, spiritual, from holding in forgiveness and not forgiving other people, and not forgiving yourself as well. So that's powerful. That doesn't always happen, you know, and it's not because, don't get me wrong, not everybody has a disease or an illness is because they had sin in their lives or that they had this in their lives. We actually talked about that last week. It's sometimes that people get things so that God's power can be displayed in their life. There's many reasons, but this is a powerful example. There was an article that I recently read. It was called How to Forgive Anyone and Why Your Health Depends on It. How to Forgive Anyone and Why Your Health Depends on It. So here's a quote from the article. And again, this is a secular, the article is about a secular PhD from Stanford University. And he was part of this this project called the Forgiveness Project that's been like around for 20-something years. But the quote from the article is, study after study has found that forgiving is good for the body as well as the soul. It can lower blood pressure and heart rate and reduce levels of depression, anxiety, and anger. People who forgive generally have more and better relationships with others, feel happier, are more hopeful, and score higher on just about every measure of psychological well-being. That's important. So if you don't want to forgive for the other person, you should forgive people when they wrong you for yourself. There's major physical issues involved with this, psychological issues involved with this, and this is a secular study, and these are some of the results here. So it's really amazing. Forgiveness is powerful, and it's really tied to healing, and it's really tied to deliverance. There's a story in the Gospel of Mark of, everybody knows the story. When I tell you the story, you'll remember it. Is these four men, Yeshua is preaching in Capernaum, I think, and there's these four men, and they're carrying one of their friends who's paralyzed, can't walk. And they go up, and they go to the roof. And then they pull off the tiles of the roof and they let the man down and he's healed. Now, so a little bit of background, because as a kid, I always read that story and I was like, that makes no sense. How can they tear up the roof? And so in Israel, there are houses and they're basically, especially in Jerusalem, you see them. They're like the Jerusalem white stone. It's really beautiful. And they're like block houses. You ever seen pictures of Israel? Like the block houses. Well, there's levels of these houses. And on each level, there's what's called a merpeset, or which is a porch. And it's really like almost like a roof. And so there's like roofs as you go along. And that's why when you remember the story about King David, when he saw Bathsheba, he was looking from his roof, from his merpeset, down to Bathsheba's. Okay, so in Israel, this is a common thing. But back then, they didn't have all this great stone, and they could, you know, because the merpeset's like in Israel when I was there were, you know, just a regular flooring and everything. But back then, it was a lot more primitive, of course. We're talking about 2,000 years ago. So they would literally pull away the tile and the roof would be opened up. And then they let him down into the lower level. So what happened was this man was miraculously healed. And I want you to see, as we read a couple of verses, how forgiveness and Yeshua went around forgiving sins, right? Forgiveness is tied to healing and deliverance. Remember Yeshua's ministry when he proclaimed the Lord. When he started out, what did he say? He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent. Forgiveness. If you want forgiveness from the Lord, you have to repent of your sins. And when Yeshua is healing people, it's very much his healing and his deliverance of people is very much tied to their sins and being forgiven of their sins. I want you to see the correlation here. Mark 2, 9 through 11. So this is Yeshua talking about this situation, this man that was paralyzed. And what happened is the Pharisees were upset at him because he was forgiving, or he was healing the man. But that really wasn't why they were so upset. They were so upset because he was saying, your sins are forgiven, meaning he was equating himself with God. He wasn't just healing the man. He was saying, I forgive you. And they were, oh, that's crazy. So I set the stage for you. Here we go. Mark 2, 9 through 11. Which is easier, This is Yeshua's words. To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. Forgiveness of sins is tied to deliverance, is tied to healing in your life. You may not be cured of cancer, but you could be cured of a lot of bitterness in your heart. You could be cured of a lot of issues that you've been going through. You can be cured of a lot of things when you forgive people. It's not just physically when we're delivered. There's a lot more reasons than that. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In those two verses, you have deliverance, transference to the kingdom of heaven from darkness. So there's deliverance and redemption tied along with forgiveness of sins. It's very, very important. The next thing is we need to be able to forgive people as God forgave us, right? We all know that, but let's go through that. Romans 5:8. For God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. You ever try to read the Bible and you're going through your Bible or whatever, and you're like, I'm going to get through like 10 chapters today. I'm going to be really good. And I hope when I go through this example, I'm not the only one that's felt this way. So at least shake your heads and nod. Tell me you've gone through it too. So when I'm going through and I'm like, I'm going to get through the book of Genesis today, you know, or the book of Job. So you get through and you like literally you go to one verse and then you have to stop because like, boom, you're overwhelmed. You just can't get past the verse. You ever had that? Thank you for shaking your head. So like that's one of those verses to me. I'm like, I'm going to get through the book, you know, the chapter 5 of Romans. For God shows his love for us while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. And I'm like, whew. So you got to let that sink in for a while. And then I just can't move on, you know. I got to like stay on that. While we were still in darkness, Messiah died for us. God can forgive you no matter what you have done. Okay? No matter what you have done. But here's the thing. A lot of people come to know the Lord because, you know, they've been bad. They've done bad things. They've sinned. And then they start feeling remorseful or guilty and start learning about the Lord. And they go through a series of events where they're saying, God, forgive me. You know, they're asking for forgiveness. And then they get saved. They come to know the Lord. They come to know Yeshua. And that's wonderful. And a lot of people have that experience. But probably just as many people are like the Apostle Paul. They're going along in their terrible, sinful ways. They don't really care. They're just doing their thing. You ever met somebody that was like radically transformed by God? They were just walking along in total depravity, you know, total like, I'm just going to live my life the way I want. I'm going to smoke and drink and do all this. And then, boom, God hits them. Like they're on the road to Emmaus and boom. Shaul, the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, I think God does this because of personalities. I mean, he had, I think everybody will agree, he had like this A-type personality. He's pretty intense guy. He's like a Teddy Roosevelt kind of guy, right? So he wasn't going to listen to that still small voice, you know. He was going to get, he needed to get like punched in the mouth, you know what I'm saying? So he was on the road to Emmaus, and he was like punched in the mouth by God. He couldn't see for 3 days. I mean, like, I think God did everything he could to like stop him. He couldn't see for 3 days. And it wasn't because he cried out to God for 5 months before that. He was just going on his way and boom. Sometimes people need that. And sometimes people come to know the Lord that way. While we were still sinners, even though we didn't say, I'm so sorry, God, you know, I'm ready now. I've done my penance, you know, in the Catholic Church. You talk about doing penance and praying the rosary and all this stuff and got to go see the priest. You know, you got to sufficiently feel bad before the priest can forgive your sins. That's not how it works. That's not how it worked for Paul. He didn't go see the priest for 5 months. He was on the road doing his thing, and boom, God punched him and couldn't see for 3 days. So he was not worthy, if we want to call it that. He wasn't worthy of being forgiven because he wasn't doing nice things. No matter what you have done, no matter even if you've repented or not, there is times where God can just hit you and boom, you've got that. Yeshua died for all of us, not just those of us that wanted him to die for us. He died for all of us so that we can cry out to him and we can get forgiven, no matter if we truly cry out or cry out afterwards. God knows our situation, and God, while we are still sinners, he died for us. That's powerful, man. It's one of those scriptures you got to just stop for a minute. Right? Just stop. Yeshua died for the righteous and the unrighteous alike, not just the people that deserved it. If we got into the whole "I deserve it" or "this person doesn't deserve it," that's a real slippery slope, and that is really a works issue. And you know that, you know, because you've heard me preach long enough, probably, that one of my favorite scriptures is Genesis 15:6. Abraham was declared righteous by trusting God. Not because he did some great things, because he did great things, but he's declared righteous by trusting God. So that's important. Not just because we deserved it, did God die for us. Not just because we deserve it, did he forgive us. So, just as we were forgiven, just as we didn't deserve it, other people, maybe they don't deserve it either. Maybe they really hurt us, and they don't deserve us, our forgiveness. That person wronged me so much, they don't deserve my forgiveness. I am not going to give them a satisfaction. They hurt me, I want to hurt back. You know, you heard of an eye for an eye, which is a terrible mistranslation of scripture. But in the Bible, everybody always uses, you know, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to know an eye for an eye. So people say an eye for an eye, but that's really not how it really should work. Yeshua said, when somebody strikes, you turn the other cheek. That's really love. And we have to show forgiveness, even for the people we don't want to show forgiveness for. And that's wonderful, thus saith me. But let's see what thus saith the Lord on this one. Matthew 6:12-15. Many of us as little kids memorize this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Very powerful, very all-encompassing. But I want to draw your attention to verses 12-15. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's powerful. So if we don't believe, you know, what the rabbi says, believe what the Lord says. And that's really like sobering. So think about that. And there's another scripture too, which I'd bring out. But you know how when you have, it says when you have your altar there, and if someone has wronged you, go reconcile with your brother before you give your offering at the altar. So we really need to, for our own sake, again, forgive other people, but give them the opportunity to be forgiven as well. And that's so powerful because we didn't deserve it. They don't deserve it either. Okay, I'm with you. They don't deserve it because they really hurt you. But God says to do it. We need to do it for many, many reasons. So going back to Joseph, as we're closing, I have one more point that I want to make about Joseph and about us. So we always tend to see our perspective on things as believers. So somebody wrongs us, we're hurt, blah, blah, blah. It's always so us-centric. You ever notice that? It's all about us. It's all about me. But, you know, we have to take ourselves out of things sometimes. God could be doing things in your life not to teach you something or not to teach your, you know, sometimes things happen in your life not for you. So I want us to stop thinking of ourselves as the center of the universe for a minute. Think of God as the center of the universe, okay? God is a bigger picture than just your hurt. God is a bigger picture than just your issue, because God wants to do things through that situation, just like he did for Joseph. Genesis 45:5. And now do not be distressed. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Genesis 45:8. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord over all his house and ruler over the land of Egypt. Wow. So Joseph recognized, he was smart enough, mature enough in the Lord to recognize it wasn't all about him. It wasn't all about they damaged me, they messed up my life, I was going to be, you know, this and that and all this in Israel. I was walking around with my robe. They ripped up my robe, you know. So all this bad stuff happened, but was he bitter about it? No. He knew it wasn't all about him. And oh, now they're coming and groveling at, you know, at my feet, so I'll forgive them. May wave the wand. It wasn't you who sent me here, he says, but God. When we're wronged, we need to see the bigger picture. Sometimes God's using that situation to show somebody outside of that circle what's going on. You may not see it. Some things, maybe it's like, I mean, I don't know. You're going through this thing with your friend, and your younger brother is watching, and your younger brother sees how even though your friend doesn't deserve the forgiveness because he really hurt you, you forgave him anyway. And that sticks with him. I mean, like, I can't tell you. You've probably had those experiences maybe where, like, you're just going about your business. You're doing your thing, whether it's at work or wherever. And people come up to you later and say, wow, you really touched me with your life. And it kind of – maybe you've had that situation where because of your example, they came to know the Lord later. I mean, that's powerful. You may not know who you're affecting outside your little circle. But Joseph, first of all, he knew it was more than just him. And, you know, it really, Joseph was used for a really big purpose, because not only was it to help Joseph, right, forgive, the forgiveness I'm talking about, but it was also not just for the brothers to be forgiven, but God did all that for the sake of all the people in the region. Because remember, there was a famine. And if Joseph hadn't gone to Egypt and gone through everything he went through and then got an opportunity to share his, to listen to Pharaoh's dreams and interpret them. And remember, how did Pharaoh find out about Joseph and his dream abilities? He found out through the, I always mix these guys up. There was a butler and a baker, right? Which one got beheaded? The cupbearer. And then the baker did not. And Joseph said to the baker, remember me when you go before Pharaoh, because I can interpret dreams, blah, blah, blah. Because he interpreted correctly the baker's dream. Do you know that the baker forgot about Joseph for 2 whole years? And then when all that craziness was going on, he remembered, oh, yeah, I was in prison with this guy. Because Joseph was in prison, he got the opportunity to go before Pharaoh and save all those people and save all the Egyptians and save all the Israelites and save his family. There's a bigger picture going on than just you forgiving somebody and the forgiveness between you and that person. Joseph recognized God's hand in all this. He was bigger than the hurt. He was bigger than all that. When we go through a situation, we need to remember it's bigger than just us. There's a bigger picture. And we may never, ever see how big that picture is, but we still have to go through it because somebody's watching. Even if it's just the Lord watching, somebody's watching. But I guarantee you it's more than the Lord watching. So as we conclude, as we wrap up, remember Joseph. Remember how he went from this immature boy that had a lot of potential to this amazing man of God who was second in command of the most important and most strategic and strongest nation in the world at that time. If you look at Joseph's transition, you can look at and apply it to your life. As believers, when we first become believers, we're babies in the Lord. We don't really know right from wrong scripturally. We're immature like Joseph was. And as we go through those trials, we talked about that last week. When we go through those valleys and then we hit a great mountaintop, and then we go right back down the valley, that's where the growth happens. That's where Joseph was growing and we can grow to the point where you're equipped, you're ready, so that when your brothers come back to you, you're as the guy on Saturday Night Live said, you're good enough, you're smart enough, right? Some of you don't get that, sorry. But I don't want to explain it. So basically that you're ready, you're good enough and you're smart enough to know how to handle the situation, to forgive them, to be bigger, and to also see the bigger picture. Joseph, if he was still the immature boy, he would never have known the bigger picture. He would never have seen and had the experience to know how to handle himself. So when you're going through things in your life, rejoice, because when you get out of them, there's going to be opportunities. And the only way you're going to be ready for those opportunities is because you did your time in the valley. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you. Thank you, God, that you are patient with us. But Lord, you allow us to go through situations, Lord, good and bad in our lives. And we can't just say, oh, there's a bad thing happening. God has rejected me or this and that and the other. We know, God, that you're in charge of everything. And we have to learn to trust you as Abraham did. And by trusting you, we're declared righteous, Lord. I pray for each and every one here today, Lord God. Help them to realize that the valley that they're in is a temporary valley. And then on the other side, Lord, is opportunities to forgive, be forgiven, but be a game changer, a world changer for you, Lord. Not for the sake of themselves, but for you. Show us these things, Lord God. Let this just stir us today. Let this challenge us. Get it deep into our heart of hearts, Lord God. Help us to be changed because of what we read about Joseph and because we're doing the heavy lifting. We're applying it to our life. We thank you, God. And if there's anything, Lord, that we have in our lives that we've not forgiven somebody, we built up problems, we built up bitterness and anger, Lord, I pray that you would just help us right now to forgive the person, to go to the person, or to go to you if we can't go to the person, Lord, and just give it to you. We thank you, God, for this time together. We lift up your name, and we praise you, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen.